here to hopefully be uplifted, encouraged, or sometimes be admonished and to be rebuked as we come to listen to the Word of God, to make sure that we are all fighting the good fight, continuing in the right direction so that we can all have a home in heaven, be there together with our Lord, Father, Spirit, and all others who have gone on before. This evening, I'd like to ask the question, is the church important? Is the church important? I want to start off there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and make it clear as we look at these verses, and of course we look at a lot of verses, and verses we're going to be covering will kind of cover this point. But before really digging into the lesson, a point to be made is that the church is the people. So we're not asking, is this building important? Now, we're not asking, is the other buildings that brethren go to important? But rather, is gathering together with our brothers and sisters in Christ important? Is it important that we be part of the Lord's church and not try to go forth and be on our own? Many in today's world get caught up in that mindset of that they believe in Christ, they believe in God, and they go forth and can have their own church, their own worship when they're driving. Or, you know, be tempted again. Heard many come forth at that point of those who enjoy nature, you know, enjoy hunting like I do. And they'll, well, my church is out in the woods. You know, I feel close to God, which is good if you feel close to God where you're at. That's fine. That's God's creation, seeing nature, seeing those things. Whatever you can do, that's great. But that does not take away from what God actually designed as the church, what He has built. And so, just want to bring out some verses to go show forth that God has designed the church and that it is important. So starting here in 1 Corinthians 12, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we could go through this entire chapter pretty much and go to Romans chapter 12. We might end up turning over there. But we're going to start in verse 13 and just try to make this point and understanding that we can't do this on our own. We can't do this, even to that point that you may claim to be doing this in God and with Christ, with our God Father. But we're supposed to be there for one another. 1 Corinthians 12 and in verse 13, it says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body,' is it not for this reason any less a part of the body? And if the ear says, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as He desired. If they are all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' or again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.'" And it goes forth, and of course, we see the illustration time and again through the scriptures that the church is the body of Christ. And we can just look around, look at one another, and see a body, right? We can see many bodies here, and see that one person's body is made up of many members. We have ears, we have eyes, our nose, our mouth, our head, our feet, our legs, you know, and that goes beyond what we can't see on the inside. We know that we have all these organs and the bones and the muscles that are all inside of us that make up our body. But we can't take one part, cut it off, and hope that it's going to survive on its own. We can't take one part and claim, well, you know, my body is just my nose. That's all I need, and so it won't survive on its own.
You can't go forth and claim that. There's no way that that works. You can't do that with any part of our body. It's not what God designed if it's all by itself. And that applies to the Lord's church, to the body of Christ, that if you are out by yourself, you yourself are not the body of Christ. You're simply one member of the body. And so that's why when we come together, we are the church. We are the body of Christ. And so this question of, is the church important? As in, is it important for us to be part of the Lord's body? To be with other Christians? To be in fellowship with one another? To have unity with each other? The answer is yes, as we go through our lesson. I'll just go ahead and give you the answer. The answer is yes, it is important. So many today want to claim that if you're part of a congregation, you're part of a, the way they always like to word it, is a organized religion. You know, the Bible don't have organized religion in it, is what they'll try to claim. But yet we see where the Bible has rules, has commands of things you need to do, commands of things to stay away, and it has commands for us to come together, right? We're to come together to take the Lord's Supper, Acts 20, right? We see that in 1 Corinthians 11, as they're being rebuked, as they gather together to just come and eat, and then they separate on their own, and some are eating over here, some are eating over there, some don't have any food at all, and they're doing this, and then they're corrupting the Lord's Supper altogether, corrupting the gathering of the saints. So we are to come together, though. That part's not what was being committed. We're to come together, as we see in Ephesians and in Colossians, to sing and teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So we are to come together as the church to teach and admonish one another, to study with one another, to be in unity with each other. Why? Why did God do that? Why are we here? And so I want to look at a bunch of verses this evening just to go show that this is God's plan. God planned for us to be here for one another, to help each other, and that it is important, that the church is important. Start with me going to the book of Isaiah. Going to the book of Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 1. I want to bring out that this was planned by God. This was in His plan. It was prophesied to take place. Again, we can study many verses of how the Gentiles are going to come in and be part of His covenant. But here it kind of gets in that mindset of the church. Isaiah chapter 2, starting with verse 1, it says, "The word which Isaiah the son of Amos said, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it will come about that in the last days the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains, and will be raised above the hills, and all the nations stream to it. And many people will come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, that He may teach us concerning His ways, and that we may walk in His paths. For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And He will judge between the nations, and will render the decision of many people. And they will hammer their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will come, not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war." And so as you read these verses, again, it's talking about a time when all will come to the house of God. When all will come to worship our Lord. All will come and say, "Let us go to the house of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob." Come to the church, because again, under the old law, it was just the Jews. The Jews were the saved, and there's a way in which the Gentiles somewhat entered, but they still didn't eat with them. They didn't treat them well. They were not still their people. They did not allow them to claim to be descendants of Abraham. And so here we see it was prophesied that there's going to time to come, starting in Jerusalem, as we see it take place there in Acts chapter 2, that they were in Jerusalem, that the church began. that it was part of God's plan. It was all in His design to establish His kingdom. We know that they were focused on a physical kingdom, not this spiritual kingdom that the Lord did establish that He is reigning over now, but they thought it was going to be a physical kingdom. Just because they messed up on what they believed was coming doesn't mean that God still didn't plan it. God did plan it. God did say it was coming, and it did come. And it came in God's wisdom. It came in God's wisdom. It came, and it's there to go forth and share God's wisdom. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 3 and looking there in verse 10. So we're going to read verses 10 and 11. It says, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, what's it say? It says, the manifold wisdom of God will be made known through the church. Not through this building, but through the people. Through God's chosen people, right? When we go and study, we see that we are redeemed to be His special people, a holy nation, the royal, a royal nation, holy priesthood. We're to go forth and spread the wisdom of God. And then you read that again in verse 11. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so this is the purpose. This was with the design, the plan that God set forth when He was going to send His Son down to die for you and me, that we would become part of the church, and the church, us, would spread the Word of God. We would go forth and teach others the truth. So again, is the church important? Well, it's part of God's plan. God prophesied that it would take place. God planned it to come forth. That God's using the church to spread His wisdom to others. It's very important. It's important to God as we continue to look at these verses. It's something in which the Lord Himself is the builder. He's the one that had designed the Lord's church because it's His church, right? Matthew 16 and verse 18. Matthew 16. Go up with me up to verse 16. Or up verse 15. Verse 15 says, He said to them, but who do you say that I am? After asking them, who do people say that I am? Some said John the Baptist, some Elijah, another a prophet. He said, who do you say that I am? Verse 16, Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. And so here, the Lord, upon Peter's confession, upon that confession that hopefully we all have made or will make, that I believe that you are the Son of God, that Jesus is the Son of God. The Lord built His church. The Lord said, upon that, I'm going to build my kingdom. My body, of the body of Christ, will be established. Again, He is the builder. He's the one that went forth and taught. He's the one that gave the word to His disciples, His apostles. He's the one that passed on the Spirit to them. He's the one that went forth and died for us. He is the builder of the church. So if the Lord built it, how could it not be important? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and looking there and in verse 11 it says, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Again, we can't build upon any other foundation. Any other foundation besides Jesus Christ being the Son of God, Jesus dying for your sins, Jesus resurrecting and ascending into heaven. There any other foundation that you start to build so that you can be saved? It's not going to work. It will not stand.
It goes back to the example of the wise man and the foolish man building their house, one on rock, one on sand, and only one ended up standing. The other fell.
And so, yes, the church is important. The Lord is the one that built it. Not only did he build it, but he purchased it. Right? He went forth and made sure that it could be established. He purchased it with his own blood. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, Acts chapter 20, and looking there, and in verse 28, it says, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Again, you look at this verse there, there's a lot of points to be brought out on why the church is important. Why is it important to be part of the Lord's church, to be part of his kingdom, part of his body? Here it brings out again, one, because it's what's been purchased by the blood of Christ. What are you willing to pay for something? Now, there's a price tag on everything. Price tag on your vehicle, there's a price tag on your house, there's a price tag on your clothes, price tag on food. And so we have to weigh that out all the time. Weigh out, is it worth it? Are you willing to pay for that? Are you willing to splurge a little bit? Is it worth the cost? And so when it comes to the cost of our salvation, when it comes to the cost of the Lord building his kingdom, cost us his life. So that you could be saved and that he could establish his church, he had to come down upon this earth and suffer on the cross. He had to be the sacrifice. He had to be the lamb without blemish, as it reads there in 1 Peter 1. That is how important the Lord's church is that he was willing to leave heaven, come down to earth, and die for you and me. Again, that shows how important his kingdom is, how important the church is. I know we've been referring to this in the entire lesson since we started off with 1 Corinthians, but again, the point that the church is the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, if you will. Ephesians chapter 1, and in verse 22, it says, "He put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." And if you look at chapter 4, verse 4, Ephesians 4, verse 4, again, it brings out this point. It says, there is one. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called, and one hope, the calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. Again, there's only one body. There's no, again, other foundation in which you can build. There's no other body in which you can be part of that is Christ's. He is in charge. He is the head of the church. And so his next verses go right along with what we just read there in verse 23, right? In verse 22 and 23 of chapter 1, that he is head over all things of the church. Again, here in Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 23, as it gives the example of marriage, it goes back to how the relationship is supposed to be with the church in Christ. "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church." Matthew 28, verse 18, "All authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth." Right? All authority has been given to Christ. And so therefore, there's nothing that is not in his control. That includes his kingdom. That includes his body. That includes his church. That means us. Right? He is the head of the church. As you go down the scenario here in Ephesians chapter 5, you bring out the point that we, as the church, are the bride of Christ also. Again, that important point that we are the bride of Christ. That's another way in which we look at the church. That He does all He can to make sure that we are right and that we have everything we need. He has done everything for us. Look with me in verse 26. It says, so that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by washing of water with the word, that He might present to Himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. This is all that the Lord has done for His bride, for the church. How important it is, because what all our Lord has done for us. Again, is the church important? The answer is yes, because it belongs to the Lord. Again, when we put the signs and stuff on our information, Westside Church of Christ, we get that Romans 16, verse 16 here, right? The churches of Christ, the churches of Christ. What that is saying, though, is that we belong to Christ. We're just making a statement. It's not really a name there in those verses that is given to us. It's a statement of who we belong to. We are Christ's church. The church that belongs to Christ, the church of Christ. That's all it's saying. That's what we're trying to make clear, is that we are the Lord's church. Whether it's the church of God, we're saying we are God's church that He established through His Son, Jesus Christ. If it's the church of the firstborn, that's the same thing. That we are the Lord's church, the church of the firstborn, Jesus Christ. That we belong to Him. He is our builder. He is the head of our church. He is ruling us. He is our King. He owns us. Because He died for us. Because He purchased the church. So again, it shows how important it is that He wants it to be known that we belong to Him. It's important because if you are saved, then you abide in the church, because that's where God puts us. Right? It's where the saved is. Acts chapter 2, if you will. We often go to this chapter and we look at verse 38. As they were cut to the heart, asking, "What shall we do?" Peter answering them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of the Lord. Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Right here are when they were saved. Their sins were washed away. They received salvation. And then you look at the end of the chapter, verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. The Lord was adding to the church those who are being saved. When we obey the gospel, God adds you to the church. We read it earlier in Corinthians. As many as you were baptized into the church, were baptized into Christ, baptized by the through the Spirit. Again, it's where those who are saved are. If we are not in the church, again, someone will ask that question. Can you be saved outside of the Lord's church? Can you be saved outside of the church? You're not a member of His church. No. I'm sorry, you can't be saved outside. Again, I'm not saying you have to be a member at Westside. But you have to be a member of the Lord's church in order to be saved. Because that's where those who are saved are put. God puts us in His kingdom. We are now part of the body. And if we're no longer part of the body of Christ, then you know, there's something wrong when you're missing a finger. There's something wrong when an organ's taken out. And that organ, that piece of body, is going to die on its own. And so it's where we're supposed to be. Again, the church is important because the church is what God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, loves. Going back to Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians 5, and verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it. Loved the church, died for the church, gave himself up, shed his blood to purchase the church. We're going to finish with 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. It goes along with one of the verses we started with earlier, probably should put them together. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, as it brings out this, it says, "But in the case I'm delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth." The church is here as a pillar and support of the truth. Again, Jesus is the truth, right? He is the truth, and we are his kingdom, we are his bride, we are his body. And so therefore, as he is the truth, we hold up. We're in this world, we're supposed to be holding up our Lord, holding up the truth, so that all can see. I know he's the one that holds us up, that is through his strength we're able to stand, through his strength we're able to continue on upon this earth. But we're supposed to give back, we're supposed to serve him. We're supposed to be a pillar of the truth in this world. So the church is very important. Let us make sure we understand that. Make sure we understand that to the point that we're ready to help and assist our brothers and sisters in Christ. That we're ready to help fight for one another and continue to be here so that we can stir up love and good works. So that we can help each other by having, again, when we have elders who look out for our souls, that are there to shepherd us. God has done so much for us in blessing us and giving us his kingdom, the church. Don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this evening. If you're here and you've yet to obey the gospel, we want to encourage you to do that tonight. To come forward, confess your faith, put sin behind you, be baptized, and wash your sins. We assist you in anything else by praying for you or studying with you. We let it be known as we stand and sing.
My hope is built on nothing but